Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 6 and verse 2. Amen. Praise God. Don't forget, this Sunday is Mother's Day. And we're going to have a great day here on Mother's Day. In our morning service, some of our children will be sharing. And we're going to have a great time. Our kids on the rock will be singing. And then in the evening, we're going to do something a little bit different. I've decided I'm going to interview my mum. We're going to take the pulpit down. We're going to put some nice chairs here. We'll kind of do I don't know that show. This Is Your Life, is it? Something like that. You'll see some photos when she was young. But just about her testimony and how the Lord brought her to Himself. Amen. So don't forget about that this Sunday. Don't forget to call mum, wherever she is. If she's still alive, give her a call. And wish her happy Mother's Day. Psalm chapter 6 and verse 2, it says this: Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. I mean, that's David writing that, but any of us here tonight could say we could pretty much write the same thing. Have mercy upon me, O God, O Lord, because I'm weak. O Lord, heal me, my bones are vexed. Anybody know that they're weak? Yeah, our weakness. Matthew chapter 26 verse 41, Jesus giving instructions to his disciples. He says this, he says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Any of us know what it's like to have a willing spirit and a weak flesh? Yeah, we can identify with that. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, a final reading before we get into our message, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Everybody say clay. Everyone say, I'm just dirt. Yeah, really. That's how we were created, dust. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. If there's anything good in me, it's not me, it's God. I'm just a clay vessel. I'm an earthen vessel. So if there be any glory, if there be any honor, let it all go to God and not me. Praise God. I want to speak tonight. I want to talk about weakness. And my weakness is God's strength. Difficult topic, an interesting topic, but we're going to talk about weakness tonight. Let's all pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your word. Lord, we want to leave this place encouraged by your word. Lord, and there is no reason that we should leave here discouraged, but we should leave encouraged. Oh God, so help us to receive your word, Lord, that it would edify our soul tonight, Lord God. Help us to leave different than we came in, with a new perspective, with revelation, oh God. Lord, that we can go about your work on this earth, and we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody say in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Amen. My weakness is God's strength. Something very different to talk about in church, because the world doesn't like to focus on weakness. We like to focus on power and success and all these things. But in the Word of God, we continually read about weakness. My weakness is God's strength. And I want to start off by saying tonight that God wants, He wants you to bring your weakness to Him. Now, we have to ask ourselves, why is it that we have to have weaknesses in our life? Why is it that we have to have struggles? And why is it that we have to have difficulties? And even though we're Christians, why is it that life isn't easier than it is? And why do we go through hard times? I want to talk about that today. I want to encourage you tonight with these scriptures and as we go through this study tonight. But before I go any further, let me clarify what weakness is. Everybody say weakness. When I talk about weakness tonight, I'm not talking about repeated and willful sin. Okay? I'm not talking about somebody who just keeps on sinning and say, well, I just got a weakness. I'm not talking about repeated and willful. Everyone say willful. Willful sin. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking to people that are in willful rebellion against God. No, that's not weakness. You need to fix that. Okay? You don't have a weakness. You've got sin. And you need to go to an altar and repent before God. If you're willfully rebelling against God of your own choice and you were repeatedly and willfully sinning against God, you're not struggling with weakness. If that's the case, you are a sinner who needs to find an altar of repentance. But if you are struggling, if you were going through tough circumstances, this message is for you, and I want to encourage you tonight. If you are one of those people that is sincerely striving to serve God, and you find yourself in striving to serve God, that sometimes you struggle, sometimes you fail. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever been serving God and made a mistake? Yeah? Anybody ever fallen? Some of us wish we had more than two hands. No matter how many times we fail or we fall, we do serve a God who will love and will forgive us. Amen. And so there's a big difference between somebody that is striving towards the things of God and somebody that's running away from the things of God. There's a big difference. In fact, in the Bible, if you study about the cities of refuge, you could be running towards the city of refuge. Just say you had accidentally killed somebody and you would run towards this city of refuge to escape the law, which was at the time an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So the avenger of blood could come after you if you killed somebody. But if you were running towards the city of refuge, if you could make it in there, you would be safe. But furthermore, if you fell while you were on your way to the city of refuge, you would have to call out the name of the king and they would have to spare you. Okay? So it depends on your direction. There's a big difference between someone that is trying to live for God and somebody that's rebelling against God. And so the opposite is if you were running away from the city of refuge, if you left the city of refuge and you were going in the other direction, the avenger of blood could get you. And so it matters a lot, the direction that our life is taking. And so I've seen two people do the same sin. One God restores and the other, they seem to go right back to where they came from. The same thing, but one was doing their best and striving to live for God, but the other one was rebelling against God and running away from God. It matters the direction that we take in our life. And so if you are genuinely trying and still find yourself weak, and I think all of us could say that here tonight, that even in our greatest endeavors to be a good Christian and to do the right thing, sometimes we find ourselves weak. And if that's you tonight, because that is me as well, then we're in good company. Because the Apostle Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 7. And Paul's life, before I go any further, Paul's life had a spiritual struggle, a struggle between the flesh and the spirit. But Paul also had physical weaknesses. He had a thorn in the flesh. He had situations and circumstances that were going against him. He was just trying to preach and he was thrown in jail. So he has these spiritual struggle and weaknesses, but then he also has these physical things. Let's deal with this spiritual struggle between the flesh and the spirit that was going on in Paul's life. When we read this a lot, it's a bit of a tongue twister. It's on the screen. Paul says this: "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me." Paul says, I want to do the right thing. How many people want to do the right thing? Yeah? Paul says, I want to do the right thing. But how to perform it, that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Paul says, I want to do good things, but I just keep messing up. I'm struggling. There is a weakness. In my flesh, there is no good thing. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Paul's not saying, oh, it wasn't me, it wasn't me. He says, no, I'm struggling with my flesh. There's this struggle going on inside of me with my flesh. And he says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. There's this constant struggle. For I delight, everybody say delight. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. He says, I do want to serve God. I'm trying to do my best. I delight in doing the things of the word of God. I'm not rebelling against God, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. He says, but I see another law in my members. There's this battle going on. I've got a weakness, and that weakness is my flesh, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And Paul is not saying, I sin whenever I want and God has to forgive me. He says, no. He says, I am weak and I'm struggling. There's this battle going on inside of me. And Paul sums it up. He says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He says, I'm trying, but I keep messing up. I'm weak. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says, it's not me, but I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. So then with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He says, I've made up my mind, but I've still got this struggle with my flesh. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? We've made up our mind. Some have been serving God a long time and we still struggle with our flesh. And so remember, if you know a little bit about your Bible, that in the back in the days when everything was on scrolls, there were no chapter divisions. So it actually flows on from chapter 7 to chapter 8. And then it flows on, okay? It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Paul says, who walk not after the flesh, and here's the answer, but walk after the Spirit. Paul says, I've got struggles. He says, I've got weaknesses. I said to God that I would do this, and I wouldn't do that. I came to an altar on Sunday, and I committed to God that this week I was going to have a breakthrough in my prayer life, and this week I was going to watch the way I spake and the way I spoke, and I was going to watch the way I treated people, and I was going to deal with this in my life and that in my life. I wanted to do it. I was at the altar, and I said to God that I would do this, and I would do that. And Paul says, you know what? I find myself completely messing up. Just because I failed and I've got a weakness, we can't use it as an excuse to do it again and again. But we realize that if we are at war with this law of sin in our flesh, there is a weakness, and that is our flesh. And I will not use my past as an excuse. We can't use our past as an excuse. But Paul says, I continue to do my best, he says, by walking in the Spirit. Everybody say, walk in the Spirit. That's the answer to win this battle. And so we all have weaknesses. We are all weak in different ways. And all of us here have weaknesses in different parts of our life. And I'm going to also talk tonight about physical weaknesses, disabilities, circumstances in our life that we can't change, family trouble, history, maybe even some tendencies that we have. We all have weaknesses. We are all different, and we all have weaknesses in different parts of our life. Let's look at Matthew chapter 12 and verse 20, and let's look at Jesus' attitude towards the weak. It says, and this is prophetic, this is Isaiah or Esaias, the same person. These are the words of the prophet being repeated and speaking of Jesus. And it says, a bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And so this is prophetic of the ministry of Jesus. The prophet's word described Jesus as an extremist in gentleness. He's not going to break that bruised reed. That smoking flax, I know that's meant to be on fire. But he's not going to come and he's not going to quench that smoking flax. We serve a God of grace. We serve a God of mercy. He's not looking for a reason to come and to break that bruised reed. He's not looking for reasons to throw people out. We serve a God that loves us. And it says, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. And so what's a bruised reed? A bruised reed is a type of somebody that is broken. Maybe broken by the weight of sorrow, maybe broken by cares or sin. Such a You know, such people in the Bible, the Pharisees, had total disregard. They would trample on these people. Jesus Christ did not act like that. It says, a bruised reed shall he not break. But he sought to bind up the brokenhearted. He came to set the captives free. He didn't come to say, oh, you're a captive and you did this and this and this and point the finger. No, a bruised reed he shall not break and a smoking flax shall he not quench. And so a bruised and broken reed, the poor and the oppressed, the people that are struggling, the weak. It means that Jesus would not oppress the feeble and the poor as those victorious conquerors would in the Bible times. They would come in and they would take them all as slaves. But that was not the way of Jesus Christ. And if we want to be like Jesus, we're not to point our fingers at people's weaknesses and say, this is wrong with you and that's wrong with you and this is wrong with you. No, let God do a work on them. Be like Jesus. Let them be restored. Show them love. Help them in the ways of God. Restore them. Nurture them. That's the ministry of Jesus Christ. It's a ministry of reconciliation. And he's given unto us the ministry of reconciliation also. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. We got to realize that we all have weaknesses. We all have struggles. We're all under burdens. We've all got history. We've all got different character flaws and things like that. We're all weak. And so who are we to come and break a bruised reed or to put out someone's smoking flax? So what's a smoking flax? It's the wick of the lamp. And of smoking flax, you don't like smoking flaxes. Why? When a wick on a lamp's not working and it begins to burn really big, and what happens? Lots of smoke comes out, doesn't it? That's not what you want. It's gonna fog up the glass. It's gonna put smoke on the roof. It's gonna smell. That's not the way a lamp's meant to work. And so that smoking flax is a lamp that has ceased to burn clearly. And sometimes we're smoking. We're smoking flaxes. You can take that whatever way you like it. Someone comes in the church and they're smoking. Let God deal with them. Don't throw them out of the church. Let the love of God deal with that over time. God will deal with it. But some of us, we're not clear. We're not burning clear. It says Jesus wouldn't come. He wouldn't quench it. So, that's enough of that. So Jesus would not oppress those who had little strength. He would not put out hope and life when it seemed to be almost extinct. He would not be like the Pharisees, proud and overbearing and trampling down the poor. We are to follow Jesus' example. And his was a ministry of reconciliation. A bruised reed shall he not break. He came in love. He came with mercy. He came with grace. He came to beckon us to come unto him. Come unto me. Who? All you that are perfect and have been to Bible college for 30 years and know the scriptures back to front. No, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden. Come on, come to me, Jesus says, and you'll find rest in me. He beckons us. Everybody say, I've got a weakness. We've all got weaknesses, all in different parts of our lives. And it'd be wrong of us, when we all have weaknesses, to go and point out someone else's weakness. Oh, they can't do the work of God because of this. Let me tell you, the person that says that, they're the ones that shouldn't be doing the ministry of God. Pointing out other people's weaknesses when they're not aware of their own. Psalm chapter 51 and verse 17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Everybody say broken. Everybody say weaknesses. God will not despise. And so if you look down at someone and think, oh, they're broken. Yes, they may be broken just like you. And God loves that. He will not despise that. What better place to bring brokenness than into the presence of God? Don't deny your brokenness. Don't say, I'm not broken. Pastor, get off this broken stuff. I got it all together. I'm not broken. I haven't got weaknesses. No, don't deny your weaknesses. Don't deny your brokenness. Bring it into the presence of God. He will not despise it. He will not reject it. Bring your brokenness to the master potter and let him put you back together again. Let him restore you. And so every one of us have weaknesses. Paul talked about the weakness in his flesh, the mistakes he made. But then there are also physical weaknesses. emotional weaknesses, physical weaknesses like disabilities, relational weaknesses, financial weaknesses, intellectual weaknesses. There are so many things. We all have different kinds of weaknesses. And the real issue is not, the real issue is not, do I have a weakness? Because we all do. The real issue is, what am I going to do with my weaknesses? What am I going to do with it? So what we normally do is we deny it. Oh, I'm not weak. I defend it. I excuse it. Some people resent it and hide it. And we don't want anybody to see our weaknesses. And then God comes along and says, you know what I want to do with your weaknesses? I want to use it. I want to use it for my glory. I want to use your weaknesses for my glory. And that doesn't make sense to us because we think that God only wants our strengths. And to be a blessing in the kingdom of God, we've got to have everything lined up and be strong. And that doesn't make sense to us. But the scripture says, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. God thinks on another plane to us. Throw that next scripture up, Brother Morty. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. It's in Isaiah. It says, neither are your ways my ways. God is saying, we think on a different plane. You want to deny and hide your weaknesses. And God says, bring your weaknesses to me and I can use you just the way you are. For as the heavens are higher than the earth. Yes, just in case you don't realize how different the plane of thinking that God's thinking is to us. He says, it's as far as the heavens from the earth. So are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. And so God is smarter than us. Everyone say, he's smarter than me. We need a reminder of that sometimes. God is smarter than us. His ways are higher than our ways. The way we think he should work is often the exact opposite way than he works in our life. He says, I don't want to work around your weaknesses. I don't want to work in spite of your weaknesses. God says, I will work through your weaknesses. And through your weakness, I will be shown strong in your life. This is what the scripture says. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27 to 29. Throw that scripture up. It says, but God hath chosen the foolish things. Everybody say foolish things. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I'm a good example of that. A foolish thing. Preaching. The people are saved by the foolishness of preaching. Not foolish preaching, but the foolishness of preaching. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the what? What does it say up there? God has chosen the what things? The weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. God chose the weak things. Human beings just like us. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. That, why? That no flesh can glory in his presence. None of us can say, it was all me. It was my ministry. It was my leadership, or it was mine. No, God has just used foolish people like myself, weak people like myself, despised, the low things. You know, in the Bible, the disciples were just fishermen, simple people. For all intents and purposes, they were weak in society. And the reason why God uses weak things, that no flesh should glory in his presence. He said, I will share my glory with no other. And so God says, I'm not going to work in spite of your weaknesses. He goes, I'm not going to take your weaknesses away. He says, I am going to work through your weaknesses. And in your weakness, I will be shown strong. And you're not going to be able to stand in that day and say, look what I did. But people are going to look and say, wow, it has to be God because it can't be him. And so God purposefully works through weak people. Why? Because it shows his power. God is not impressed with your strength. God is not impressed with strength at all. We are. The Bible says, not by might. Everyone say, not by might. Not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And so God is not impressed with our strength and our power and our perfection. God says, bring your weakness to me. I'll use it for the glory of God. Bring little old you. I don't have an education. You know, Pastor, I can barely read a few sentences. And I don't have much to offer. I got family problems and financial problems, and I'm just a normal, average person. God says, that's what I'm looking for. Bring it to me. I'll use you in a mighty way. Because it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And so that's good news. For us who are not extraordinary, those who are just ordinary and average, God chooses to work through our natural weaknesses. And we don't have a hope, like I preached on Sunday, without God. Without God, we can't do anything. But when we are grafted into the vine, you can do anything when you're connected to the vine. And God says, that's exactly what I'm looking for. And so I need to justify and clarify again. I'm not talking about somebody that sins willfully and rebels against God and says, oh, it's just my weakness. No, I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about character flaws, maybe, that we can't even change. I'm not talking about character flaws that we can change. Like, if you're impatient, then stop. Try to let the fruit of the Spirit develop in your life. If you're a greedy person, then stop being greedy. You can change that. If you've got bitterness and you say, oh, Pastor, I'm just a bitter person. It's my weakness. God can use me in my bitterness. No, change it. Stop it. Everybody say, stop it. If you can change it, then change it. And so, I'm talking about weaknesses, things in our life that we can't change, things that have happened, physical defects that we might have been born with, external circumstances in our life that we can't control. There's lots of people in our church that wish their spouse were here, and they're not. They can't control that, but God can still use that person. Unexpected financial setbacks. Relationship pressures within the family. Emotional tendencies that we can be predisposed towards. Some talents are for most of us are totally beyond our ability. That's why the Bible says, but we have this treasure. What's the treasure? The Holy Spirit. We have this treasure. We have the power of God. We have this treasure. Just to remind us, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. None of us are perfect. We've all got weaknesses. But when we are filled with the Holy Spirit and when God begins to use us, it's not of us. It's the power of God working through us. The thing about earthen vessels is that they're made of dirt. Just like us, they break easily. How many people know that we break easily as people? They're not indestructible. Nobody's indestructible. Every clay pot has, and this is it, because it comes from the natural source, it comes from dirt. Every clay pot, doesn't matter what clay pot you take, has inherited design flaws. Bits of dirt that aren't quite exactly what was meant to be there. You can't get all the impurities out. It's a clay pot. And that's what makes these earthen vessels so attractive. It's the rustic look. It's the imperfection and the perfection all in one. And we're earthen vessels and we are just ordinary containers, yes. But we have an extraordinary God. We have a great God who can use us through our weaknesses. And so the Bible not only tells us to admit our weaknesses, it tells us also to be thankful for our weaknesses. Oh, Pastor. Come on, now you've gone from silly to outright strange. You know, you've got to be kidding. I want to come to church and I want to take a magic pill and get rid of all my weaknesses. No. Pastor, I don't want you to tell me I got to be grateful for my weaknesses. I want to be free from them. Why in the world would anybody be thankful for their weaknesses? Listen, because there are many benefits. Actually, weaknesses are actually blessings in disguise. Look at this. In 2 Corinthians 12, we're talking about Paul tonight. 2 Corinthians 12, if you throw that scripture up, verse 5, Paul says this. He says, of such an one will I glory, Yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. He's talking about all the revelations that he has received and the deep knowledge of God. He said, I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. Everyone say, don't be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure. So in case I would be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelation, God has given me great revelations, Paul says. I've had amazing experiences with God, but so that I am not exalted above measure, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Everybody say a weakness. Everyone say it was given to him. The messenger of Satan to buffet me. It was given to me. A messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Throw the next scripture up. For this thing, he didn't like it. It doesn't mean you have to like it. He said, I besought the Lord 3 times that it would depart from me. And he said unto me, the Lord said unto Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. In spite of your weakness, my grace makes up the difference. Paul, yes, Paul, you only can get so far. The destination's over there and you're always falling short. But my grace makes up the difference. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my weaknesses, my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, he says it again, I take pleasure in my infirmities. I'm starting to realize, Paul says, that these weaknesses are actually a blessing. That I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Weakness is a blessing in disguise. And so Paul describes in the first 4 verses of chapter 12, I'll give you some background here. He describes all these amazing revelations of God's glory that he'd been given. And he's caught up into paradise and he heard things that cannot be told on earth. And Paul's got this wonderful privilege. And how easy it would have been for Paul to think, you know what? I'm someone special. And Paul realized the danger of that. And verse 7 shows what actually happened. He said, but to stop me or to keep me from exalting myself, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to harass me and keep me from exalting myself. Now this thorn in the flesh, everybody likes to try and imagine what it is and what was it? No one really knows what that thorn in the flesh was. Maybe it was some physical sort of weakness, we tend to think, but it was a weakness. It was a thorn in the flesh, something not very nice. It wasn't nice because he asked God to take it away 3 times. Now, we know this because he prays. He says, God, take it away. Besought the Lord 3 times, and the Lord answers in this verse. He says, I don't need to take it away. He said, but my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is going to help you. You're going to be all right. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. And he says, my power is made perfect, Paul, in weakness. And then it says this, a messenger of Satan. Now, where did this thorn come from, Paul? Paul calls it a messenger of Satan, given to harass me. So sometimes we can even have Satan fighting against us in our life. Remember Job? God allowed that hedge to come down. And Satan inflicts the children of God through his angel and his messengers, and his aim is to destroy us and and bring death and misery. It's not as simple as that. Satan is not the only one at work, because God is only allowing that to happen. Okay? Satan is not the only one at work. It's not only Satan sending a messenger, but God is at work through this whole thing. Sometimes the spiritual warfare that we fight, is God has allowed it. God is at work through it. Let me tell you, God's still in control. But you're going to learn something in it, in that weak time. And so the thorn is not just the work of Satan to destroy, it's also the work of God to save. It's the work of God to save. How do we know that? Well, first Paul says, the purpose of the thorn is to stop me from being proud. The purpose of the thorn was to stop Paul being proud. What's the devil's number one tool? To make us proud. So what he thought would destroy us is stopping himself from being effective. Because the devil wants us to become proud just like he did when he fell from heaven and think we could do it on our own. But through this thorn which he sent to destroy Paul, it stopped him from being proud. And so Paul's revelation in paradise made him vulnerable. All these revelations that he had, vulnerable to pride and self-exaltation. So God uses hostile intentions of Satan. He uses it for Paul's holiness, to help him grow. And so sometimes God will even allow us to go through spiritual warfare. Why? So that we will learn to trust in God. So that we will learn that his grace is sufficient for me. God, I can make it. And sometimes, you know, God is not going to put more on us than we can bear. But sometimes God will allow that messenger of Satan to come and buffet us so that we will know for sure by experience, runs on the board, that God's grace is sufficient for me. And in my weakness, he was made strong. So we see the same story in Job. And so Paul says, I'll be thankful. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities. For our weakness guarantees, when we are weak, it guarantees God's help. It also causes us, our weakness also causes us to value others. Everybody say others. And that's the value of unity. When we all realize that we are weak, we're not as quick to start tearing someone else apart. People that go around and tear other people down, they're full of pride. They don't even see their own weaknesses. We're all weak in different ways at different times. But together, when we bring all of our weakness into the house of God, together we are strong. And the very thing that caused you the most grief and the pain, God can use as a message to other people to encourage them. There's some people in this church that have even physical weaknesses. And it encourages me to see people with those physical ailments or even disabilities. It encourages me to see them come into the house of God and lift up their hands and worship God. Even on Tuesday, Sister Sylvia, she's going to be 100 in December. I go and visit her. I try at least to go and visit her every week. She's going to be 100 on December 19. We're going to, if she's able to come to church, we're going to have a party for her here at church. We never had someone turn 100. I hope she'll be here on Sunday. But when I see her in all of her pain and all of her old age, and we sat there and started reading scriptures, and her memory's gone a little bit, but I'd start off the scripture and she'd finish them. Oh, for they that wait, and she'll say, upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of the eagle. I feel encouraged. I mean, she hasn't got much. She can't get out of the house very much. She's had a lot of sickness and things like that. But it encourages me when I see her in her weakness worshiping God. And so when we all come together as the body of Christ and we realize our weaknesses, then we can begin to minister to each other. God always uses weak people. He turns weakness into strength. And so the very thing that causes us grief and pain, God can use it. In the Bible, there's a man named Jacob. Jacob was a deceiver. From the very beginning, he was a struggler. Bible says that he struggled in his mother's womb. Then he struggled for inheritance and all of that. He was a deceiver. There were lots of bad things about Jacob. And one day Jacob struggles with the angel. Wrestles, and the angel puts out his hip and he has a limp from then on. First of all, the angel jumps on Jacob and gets a hold of him, and they're wrestling. And eventually Jacob gets a hold of the angel to the point where the angel says, let me go. And Jacob says, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And the angel of the Lord says, that's the sort of person I'm looking for. Someone, in spite of their struggles, in spite of their weaknesses, they're not going to let me go. He says, thy name shall no longer be called Jacob, you shall be called Israel, which means you've got power with God. Yeah? So the struggler gets a new name. All of his weakness gets a new name. His name is changed from what? Jacob to Israel. Then Moses, a little bit later on, Moses is a struggler. He has weakness. He can't speak. He's stuttering. God, you want you to use me. I'm willing to go, but I really can't speak very well because I got. Weakness. God speaks to him out of the burning bush. He says, Moses, I'm calling you to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses is thinking, man, does God know about all my weaknesses? And God speaks to him. It's 100 years at least since Jacob's name's been changed from Jacob to Israel. The name's changed. God knows it. God was the one that changed his name. And right there where Moses got all these questions and all this weakness, God speaks out of the burning bush. And he says, Moses, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's something there. Because his name had already been changed to Israel. But God says, Moses, I want you to realize, yes, I'm not just the God of Abraham. I'm not just the God of Isaac, but I'm also the God of the struggler. I'm the God of Jacob, that guy with weaknesses. It was always making mistakes. He seemed to struggle from the very beginning. I'm not just the God of Abraham, Isaac, but I'm also the God of Jacob. And see, Moses beginning to realize, I know why you're the God of Abraham, because Abraham is the friend of God, the father of the faithful. I know why you're a God of Isaac, because Isaac was the evidence of things not seen, you know. He was the child of promise, and Isaac went and redug his father's wells. I can understand why he's the God of Abraham. I can understand why he's the God of Isaac. But how can he be God, the God of a struggler like Jacob? God knew exactly where Moses was at, because Moses is struggling to think. He's thinking, I've got all these stuttering, I've got all these weaknesses. And he says, God speaks to him out of that burning bush. He goes, Moses, if I'm the God of Jacob, I can be the God of Moses. I can take your weakness and I can use you in a powerful way. I'm not just the God of those great, you know, men of faith. I'm also the God of the weak. I'm the God of the struggler. And so pain and weakness, we've got to realize that we all have pain, we all have weakness, and when we realize that, it sensitizes us to the hurts of others. When people know their weaknesses, they're more sensitive to the needs of other people as well. If you want to have a Christ-like ministry, if you want to be like Jesus, then that means sometimes other people are going to be helped and encouraged and even healed. How? By the wounds in your life. By the wounds in our life, we can minister through the hardships and the wounds in our own life. Now that sounds foreign to us, but it shouldn't be, because it's by his stripes, by his wounds. He was wounded for our transgressions. The ministry of Jesus, the whole purpose of the ministry of Jesus was to die. He didn't die on the whipping post, but he took all of that to minister to us through his death, through his wounds, through his stripes. And that's also how we minister, through our weakness. Because through our weakness, he is made strong. And so what's the bottom line, Pastor? Well, the bottom line is stop using your weakness as an excuse as to why God can't use you to do anything. Because that weakness may be the very thing that God wants to use to bring glory to himself. Yeah, there never comes a time. There's never a perfect time to begin to serve God. Lord, here I am. I'm doing my best. I'm not perfect yet. I haven't got everything. You know, my family's not perfect. My whole family's not in church yet. And I struggle with my flesh like Paul sometimes. And I got these problems and these weaknesses. But God, here I'm available and you can use me. Lord, please just use me somehow. God. And God says, yes, I'm looking for weak vessels. I'm looking for people that are willing to allow me to use them through their weakness. And Paul says this, he sums it all up. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Isaiah 40 verse 29 says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Where do we get our strength from? God. Where do we get our power? Where do the faint get their power? From God. Even the youths, Brother Matthew and James and Alpha, you're strong young lads, you're healthy. You could probably beat most of the men in this church, except me. It says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, see, it's not just an old person's thing to wait upon the Lord, but they that wait upon the Lord, whether you're old, whether you're young, whoever you are, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Whether you're old, whether you're young, even the young men are going to fall and fail. But if you wait upon the Lord, your strength will be renewed. Rejoice not against me, Micah says, O mine enemies, for when I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, who shall be a light? The Lord shall be a light unto me. Let me tell you, you want to go start causing problems in the spirit world? Get that. Satan trembles when the weakest saint gets on their knees and says, God, I need your power. I need your strength. The weakest saint, yes, the weakest saint gets on their knees and says, God, I need you to use me. Achilles was a victorious warrior, had a complicated history. But in the stories, we read about this man named Achilles. We read of him rising to the top at the end of the Trojan War. And as the great, as great as the stories tell us Achilles was, most of us probably know him because of his heel. The Achilles heel. In some stories, Achilles doesn't die, but Greek legend, Brother Othen, says that he later suffered a mortal wound in the back of his foot. The Achilles heel, as it's called today, has become one of the most popular idioms in Western culture. The Achilles heel. It refers, does anyone know what I'm talking about? Saying, you know, he's the Achilles heel of the team. Does anyone know that? Or it's my Achilles heel. It's a weakness. It refers to a person's point of weakness that leads to their downfall. But that idea comes from Greek mythology, but not Christian reality. It doesn't come from Christian. It doesn't come from the Bible. It's not God's way. God's wisdom gives us another picture. Believers in Jesus don't have an Achilles heel. Let me say this. We are an Achilles heel. We are weak. And here's what I mean. Greek mythology shows us an invincible warrior with one weakness that when it's exploited leads to defeat. Greek mythology says there was a guy named Achilles. He had one weakness. And when that one weakness was exploited, it led to his defeat. But as God would have us know, and the God's way shows us that a dependent servant through weakness, like Paul, through his weakness, that when exploited, when that weakness is exploited, it leads not to defeat, but it leads to triumph. And Paul was different. He said, I got a weakness, but my weakness, my Achilles heel, and I am an Achilles heel, Paul says. It leads to my triumph. It doesn't lead to our defeat. You see, when God gets a hold of us, he takes us and he uses us through our weaknesses. We don't have to hide it, but that the power of God might be, that whatever happens may be of God and not of us. And so that's our story. Greek mythology says, you know, there's this one weakness. If you exploit it, they'll be defeated. But as Christians, we are that weakness. And when we give our life to God, when we get, in spite of our weaknesses, it leads to triumph. And that's the trail that Jesus blazes. A hero died for villains. Victory comes through loss. Life was born out of death, except the seed fall into the ground and die. Unless Jesus died, we wouldn't have life. Unless we die in repentance, we can't be born again. Life was born out of death. Conquest was accomplished by suffering. The darkest night in history, which was that time on Calvary, gave way to the brightest morning. You see, in God's economy, it's different to the world's economy. Our weakness in God's economy is our greatest asset. My weakness is God's strength. We're so mindful, especially as we get older, of our shortfalls in our personality or our background or even our emotional tendencies. And God doesn't need your strength. He's got more than enough power of his own. He says, come, bring your weakness. He says, I have none of that myself, and I'm longing, therefore, to take your weakness and use it as an instrument in my mighty hand. And so we need to yield ourselves. We need to yield our weakness. We don't just stop hiding and say, God, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. My weakness is God's strength.
Pastor, I don't know much about the Bible yet. Oh, no. Don't worry. I'm not just the God of Abraham and Isaac. I'm also the God of Jacob. He was a struggler. He had weaknesses. But Paul, oh, Pastor, you don't understand my history. You don't understand the family I come from. Paul could have said, Lord, you're going to use me? It was only just yesterday. Seemed like only last week I was killing Christians. He said, well, bring your weakness. I can use you, Paul. If you're going to give your life to me, I can use you, Paul. And so if God can use Jacob, if God can use Paul, he can use us. What are you waiting for? My weakness is God's strength. Let's all stand in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's just let this message just sink into our hearts. Don't take it as a corporate message for the church, but God is speaking to us as individuals. Let's lift our hands all across this place right now. As God has spoken to us tonight, help us to hear. Help us, Lord, not just to be hearers of the word, but doers of the word, oh God. Lord Jesus, Lord, as you've spoken to us, we're so mindful, Lord God. Lord, of the struggle with our flesh and the struggle between the flesh and the spirit, the spiritual struggle, oh God, that we fight every day just as Paul did. And Lord God, our own shortfalls and, you know, whatever our weaknesses may be, physical or emotional, oh God, Lord, that in spite of that, Lord, you can work through us in a powerful way. So Lord God, help us as we leave this place tonight. Oh God, to commit, Lord God, not to hide our weaknesses, not to defend our weaknesses, oh God, but to say, God, here I am. This is little old me. It's everything I've got. You know who I am, Lord, that you would use me to minister to others. Use me to minister in your kingdom. Lord God, you can use me through my weakness. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands and our voices and just love the Lord just a moment. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus.